When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Good morning, everybody. It's 908 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for tuning into the program. Got to meet quite a few of you. Kind of did a tour of the town a little bit the last couple of days, meeting people and old friends, and they're like, oh, yeah, I listen to you all the time. So I appreciate those that do tune in every single day and listen to the program. I've got Chris Homer with me in studio. Now, Chris is an old friend of mine. I got to know him when he was a football coach out in Hurricane. It seems like forever ago, Chris. How long ago was it?
Well, I think I was done coaching 11 seasons ago, which is hard for me to believe, too. But, yeah, it's been a while.
Wow, so, 11 years. So yeah. 2013 was your last year coaching?
Yeah, I think it was.
Now, folks that aren't familiar with Chris and what he did out in Hurricane, they had kind of a different take on football in that they didn't run the spread like everyone else. But that take happened to be incredibly successful.
Yeah, it was fun.
You had a really nice run, made it to the state championship game. Was it 4 years in a row?
Yes,
four years in a row. Unfortunately, the first three didn't go as planned at the end, but the last one did.
Yeah, we got one, and that's that. There, I love all my teams, and it's funny being out of it for a while. Though it was a really good run. We had, you know, 8 or 9 really good years. We were very competitive and very enjoyable, and I miss those relationships maybe more than anything else. So
Chris he's got a new venture, and that's why he's here. One of the reasons he's here, we're going to talk about that, but I don't mind reminiscing a little bit too about some of the old times, some of the great old players, and you know, a guy like Brian Scott who passed away. I know you were a lot closer to him, obviously, than I was, but I got to know him during his time there at Hurricane, and he passed away from, it was leukemia, right?
It was a form of leukemia.
A kind of kid why you got to get into coaching, you know, a kind of kid like Brian Scott who would, I remember you said to me once, he's the kind of kid that would run through a brick wall if you asked him to.
Yeah, for sure. It's an old cliche, but he was just a special kid. And the fact that he's not with us still makes me emotional, to be honest.
Yeah.
But he did a lot in his short life, and I'm still close to his family, and they do a big blood drive. It's fun to just remember him and try to, maybe makes us all a little bit better as we try to live up to his example.
And Brian wore number 8, right?
Yep.
Played fullback, which you say, well, fullback, and well, in the system that you ran, fullback was a very, very crucial position.
It was.
Normally, even an I formation team, fullback is just a guy that blocks.
Yeah. But for us, it was our number one option in the wing tee with all those kids. We definitely chose to do something different out there with that offense.
But it was, for those that aren't super familiar with football, Hurricane didn't have the biggest guys, and so you had to find ways to use leverage and positioning more than size and strength. And I mean, strength was important too, but leverage and positioning was more important than anything for you guys.
Yeah.
And you turned it a very successful formula. It was pretty cool.
We probably knew that if we tried to do what everybody else was doing, that it wasn't going to work. Mm-hmm. Give Coach West some credit too of kind of thinking that way, and it rubbed off on me as I took over for him. But we just tried to out execute people with what we did. We thought it was going to be really hard to get ready for us in 4 days, and it worked, and our kids bought in, and our community, and it was just the best. It was the best chapter for sure.
So I'm hoping that the pain of losing those three championships on the last, well, I think it was the last play, wasn't it?
All three of them.
To the same team.
7 points.
I never asked you about it because it was painful for me. I was there, but it was more painful for you. You were the coach. I got to finally, after all these years, Chris, ask about that. What did you go through when it happened for the first time, the second, and then the third time, and it was almost exactly the same thing?
Yeah. Well, I guess what I'd say is I usually don't cry driving down the road by myself anymore. I think I've moved back, but there was a time when I'd just be driving down I-15 if I was by myself, man, the tears. And it's created almost this, we have a special bond with those kids, but it's in defeat, and maybe in some way it made us all better. It's like we like to look at it as maybe that was our lesson to learn in life. Keeps us hungry, keeps us going. But, yeah, those were some painful times when you put that much time and effort and care into stuff. It hurts.
It was literally truth is stranger than fiction sometimes to lose on the last play of the championship game to the same team 3 years in a row.
There's definitely a movie script in there somewhere, but
somebody should write that.
That's right. That would be a fun thing. But those are painful. But we had so many good times too that we don't forget that. But we try to focus on the positive.
Think we could get Tom Hanks to play you in the movie?
Only if he was a little balder, maybe. Maybe he's balding.
He's getting there.
Me.
Yeah.
He would be okay for sure.
We're talking with Chris Homer, who for a long time was a very successful football coach out in Hurricane. But his new venture is something he's pretty darn excited. Different kind of excitement than being a coach and winning a state championship, but yet still pretty cool deal for you. Tell us about Career Tech High School.
A few years ago, when this idea started being kicked around our district, I just was ready for a new challenge. I was ready for just something that I knew would be different and hopefully special and build a new culture. Not in some ways, not much different than trying to build a football program.
Okay.
And I was just ready for that. And I just can't be more excited about what's going on at Career Tech High School. And if people don't know about it, hopefully a few more will know today after we're done talking. So
let's go X's and O's first.
Yeah.
Where is Career Tech High School? How long have you been open, and what's it like there?
So first of all, we're in our second year. We had our first full year last year. Okay. We're just starting year number two. And then we are located about as far south in this state as you possibly can get. We're right on
the border.
The very south end of River Road. And you'll see our school if you go on the kind of the new Southern Parkway or SR7.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic building, and it's new and different. And
do you live in Hurricane?
I still do.
So
road's good for me, though.
I was going to say, that's actually not too bad for you.
25 minutes. It's probably not too much farther than our Snow Canyon students that come from their boundaries, to be honest.
Okay.
Well, lots of Hurricane kids come. There are lots of Snow Canyon. We have students from all over the district, for sure, that are there.
Tell us about the concept. What is Career Tech?
So I'll start with saying this is the first school of its kind in the state of Utah, meaning under one roof, we're not only doing a focus on career and technical education, CTE education, but we're also giving them all their core classes in order to graduate from high school. Now, if you go to some of the bigger districts in northern Utah, they have kind of CTE centers where a student will take math and English and science at their home school, and then they'll be bused to a CTE center, and that's how they do it. But, you know, the thing that makes us different is that we're doing it all under one roof, and we think that's part of our magic formula is to do it in one building, and we're just excited about what's going on there for sure.
That's pretty innovative to be first. Larry Bergeson, the former superintendent, always used to say one of his favorite sayings was, if you're not making dust, you're eating dust.
Yeah.
So to be the first in the state of Utah is a pretty big deal.
We're super proud of it. And we've had, I mean, last year the governor came, the state's superintendent, Sid Dixon. We have just our representatives. Representative Elison's coming this week. Congressman Burgess Owens is coming in a few weeks. People are excited about it. Almost every school district in the state has stopped by. We just get people from the community stop by. They're like, what is this place? What's going on? And by the time they leave, they're really excited about what we're doing.
All right. So it is, as you mentioned, it is a high school. So you do have math and English and you know, basic classes that have to, science that have to be taken in order for you to graduate high school, correct?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. But then there's a kind of special curriculum. And I noticed here you've got them listed out, but tell us about your career pathways.
Yeah. So what really makes us different from our six traditional high schools here in the county is that, you know, and I'm from a very traditional background. I was a science teacher and a PE teacher and a weight training teacher, but, and it always seemed like, you know, that what English science, math, they kind of run the school. You make all your decisions kind of based on those curricula and just kind of make sure that that's, and then you usually have a building for CTE in the back or off to the side. Yeah. And it always felt like, oh, if you want a break or whatever, if you want to do something different, or you're an auto kid or you're a welding kid, then you just go out there and just kind of, you know, you're away from what we're trying to do. But what we have done is taken 8 career pathways, and I'll list those in a second, and made those the focus of our high school. And we like to say that that's kind of what drives our education. So our social studies teachers and our math teachers, as they teach, we want them to teach with the mindset that our students are focused solely on their pathway for 4 years at Career Tech High School. And so, for example, you know, a math teacher tries to focus on, you know, if they have an architecture and construction kid or an engineering student, which are 2 of our 8 pathways, that math's going to be, we even have an engineering math class that's even different. So we're always trying to look at education. Number one, we just call it learning by doing. Like, we want hands-on. We want, you know, we always say find your why at CT High. So as a student does that, they are really just saying, okay, it makes sense. Oh, this is why I'm doing that. Because so many times, right, we hear from our kids or our neighbors' kids, I don't know why we, why am I here? Why am I doing this? Why do I have math, this, that? But for our students, a lot of times we try to really connect that with their pathways. Now, that's a challenge, and we're getting better at it all the time. But our core teachers do a great job of integrating our 8 pathways into their days. And so our students can really feel like this is why we're here.
So when do, first of all, kids have to choose to go here, right?
Yeah.
So they can't just kind of end up at Career Tech High. They have to actually want to go.
There's a, you have to choose, and we do have an application process.
Okay.
And depending on what pathway you choose, some of our pathways are extremely competitive. Mm-hmm. And so there's actually a point system that you earn points with like GPA and attendance and teacher recommendations from your former school, and you make a video. And so in a weird way, that really just changes school, because the student's saying, I want to be there versus I have to be there, or this is my boundary school, so I just walk through the doors every day, even if I don't know why I have to be here, I don't want to be here. And so in our first year, we just had these amazing test scores, and we really do link it to not only great teachers, but to this concept of, I know why I'm here, and we're just so excited about what this is doing. This is just so different, and it's it's not a magnet school here, but essentially it is, because we just pull students from all the high schools that want to be part of us.
So when does the school kid decide, I want to go to career? Is it at 8th grade, or is it, okay?
So we're always trying to just plant seeds and seek. Really, we would love to get in front of a lot of our 7th graders. For example, we had a construction days hosted by SUBA. A couple Thursdays ago, we had like 400 seventh graders at our school, but SUBA did a lot of the heavy lifting, and they got to meet all these vendors. And
SUBA, Southern Utah Home Builders Association.
Yes, yeah. And so it was just awesome. But in a way for us too, we're like, and again, I need to preface this, as we recruit, I say that with quotations around it, we're just looking for kids that want to be there, that find it a good fit. It's not like we're not trying to take a student out of anybody's high school necessarily, but man, if they want to be with us and they think like we do and they want to be part of this new concept, new idea, and learn about one of these 8 pathways, it's just such a different place, and it feels different. Our culture's different. Kids love being there, even when they're not, when they're, let's say they're in my office for maybe not doing the right thing, they're still high school kids. We still have a few discipline problems. I always ask, how you doing here? And 90% of them say, I love it here. And I don't hear that. I didn't hear that in my 25-year career before Career Tech High. And so we've got something really cool happening there.
And you don't do, as far as a lot of the extracurricular you might think of with the high school, you don't have sports teams or debate squads or anything like that?
But it is important to mention that our schedule is to start a little earlier and end a little earlier and get students home so they can participate.
Okay.
in sports and other extracurriculars like theater at their boundary schools. And that's important to us because we don't want to take that away. And so we have, it seemed, I would say between 20 and 25% do some kind of extracurricular.
That many. Okay.
Yeah, it's way, we actually thought it would be less, but we just started counting this year and had students say, hey, what are you doing? And football and you know, it's kind of fun to see on Fridays different jerseys from different schools in the same school, and it's it. And there's no animosity. I guess in a lot of ways, it's the way probably high school sports should be. You just go compete, but doesn't mean that kid sitting next to you is probably not. They're probably a lot like you to start with. So yeah, we're really excited about that piece too. But we add that to it.
I'm curious about you. So you mentioned the pathways and you know, kids coming in eighth grade or ninth grade and having a pathway. I'm going to be honest, Chris, when I was in eighth grade, what are you going to do for a living? I don't know. I don't care. I'm in eighth grade. What do you mean? What am I going to do? Even up to maybe 10th grade, I was like, I don't know, whatever, you know. So are kids at that age, or do they have an idea of where they want to go?
Some don't.
Okay.
Some just want to be there. Some see it as a cool idea. We do help students switch pathways if possible. But as a quick example, talking to a ninth grader last week, they're in our business pathway and our entrepreneurship pathway, and he lined out his whole goals in life, starting a clothing brand. Wow. It was just boom, boom. So he knew, and that's why I'm like, that's our student. That's a career tech titan right there. But not all of them do. They're more like me and you were probably in eighth grade when we just were thinking about other things. But
girls, sleep, cars. That was
that's
about
still
it.
There. Yeah. That's still there. There's no doubt. But kids are a little bit different. I think COVID changed education. We always like to say that students vote with their feet. Whether if they come into our schools or go somewhere else to do something else. Education's changed dramatically, but we feel like starting this school now couldn't have been at a better timing because students start to look for different ways to be educated. And Washington County School District had the site 8-9 years ago to start this process, and it's been really fun.
So when you think of a career tech, you think of things like, okay, well, you got auto body shop and you got, you know, woodwork and things like that. But those aren't really exactly what the pathways are all about, is it?
No. Yeah. And we could have picked many. The eight that were settled on, and I'll just read them really quick in case there's people listening. But we have a construction pathway with a little bit of architecture in it, computer science and programming. Graphic design and digital media, health science, education, culinary arts, engineering, and business and entrepreneurship. So, yeah, if you look on that, there's not a whole lot of, I guess, what we would call blue collar.
Yeah.
Construction is the obvious one, but really there's a lot of kids getting that program for us that want to do architecture, drafting, and CAD. And so even that, culinary arts, I guess you could consider that too. We got $1 million kitchen that's just out of this world, and
my daughter would have loved that back in high school.
Exactly.
She's a baker.
Yeah, that's what this place is for. And you know, so many times as we try to educate people on what CT High is, it's they automatically go, oh, my kid wants to weld, or my kid's an auto kid. We don't have those programs. The good thing is they're in our home high schools. CTE's alive and well and doing great at our home high schools. But we chose these four, eight pathways. And eventually we think there will be a phase two and we add some things. But I would say we're definitely more on the technology side. And almost every job has technology now. And so we're very much focused that way as we do all eight of these pathways. But health science, engineering, business, they're all just – we get so many kids and not all of them get in. And they're just excited. All of them are doing really well. But there's some that get a lot more applications than others.
So let me ask you, you're talking about career pathways. We're talking about the Career Tech High School with Principal Chris Homer. Yes, he's the principal. I want to call him Coach.
That's okay, too.
I've known him as Coach for a long time.
Yeah. But,
so if I say I'm in graphic design and digital media in that pathway, what's the goal to have when I graduate high school? Am I ready for a job, or is it pointing me toward, okay, now you need to go to college and learn more about this stuff? I'm curious how that works.
Yeah, I think in our minds we still think that 80 80+% of our kids will get more education. That's what we hope for. That's what we talk about. Mm-hmm. Just because that builds experience and it also builds just more hireability, higher pay, better lifestyles. Just, you know, just the things I think we all hope for at the end of the day, that our students and your kids will make enough money to have a comfortable life doing what they hopefully love to do. But, for example, you said our graphic design program is incredible with the certification, and that's a big push on all of these. What credentials and certificates can your students get at CT High that makes them super hireable? So, I mean, I'm sure we have kids in our architecture program that just want to be, you know, framers. And I say just, but maybe they run a framing crew and eventually become a general contractor and they're making way more money than I ever would, right? So, and that's our goal, is we really do want to just change how some of these things are talked about in our community and culturally accepted. You know, we still think, and when I say more education, it might be in a university, but it might be at Dixie Tech or, you know, just some other way to get credentials and certifications usually equal higher salaries. And that's a constant push. And we're always prepping our students with, you know, interviews and work-based learning and internships and externships. How do we get these health science kids into hospitals and learning this?
Right.
And again, maybe they go into a nursing program, but maybe they choose not to and go be a CNA and have a great career that way if that's what they choose. And we just think there's so many ways to, you know, like an engineer is going to need 4 years of college at a minimum, right? Education, you got to get your bachelor's degree and your teaching certificate. Right. Some it's built in, but some it's not. So
will a kid, say you mentioned education, will they have a leg up on the other students that maybe didn't decide to major into education until, you know, 6 months before they got into college?
I'll give you two quick examples in that pathway. Number one, our students work directly with the preschool. We have a preschool in our high school, and they work just right with those preschool kids and those teachers. They're not the teachers, but they're the aides, and it's just fantastic. And they end up with what's called a CDA, which allows them to start their own preschools at their homes or at other places. So they get that credential. And that's fantastic. You can make a living, a good living doing that, whether it's in your home or another place. And then we also provide what we call paraprofessionals for our school district. So our students, while in school, are earning credit and being paid to work in our elementary schools. And some of our principals are just, because at any time we have 50 or 60 paraprofessional jobs open in our school district that are unfilled. And so these students get to go and do that. So paid plus credit plus experience. So we believe absolutely it's just fantastic things. And again, great teachers thinking about great things. Ryan Rarick, who you might know as well, is leading that program. And just we're always trying to think outside the box and create these cool opportunities that we just – we haven't ever done that here or maybe in our state. So
it's inspiring. And you know, money talks, and you know what you said a minute ago too, is kids are a little different nowadays than we were. And you know, like I said, in eighth grade, 10th grade, whatever, I wasn't thinking about the future. I was thinking about the present. And it's good to hear a lot of, not maybe not all, but a lot of them are thinking about, well, what's next for me?
Yeah, so I would say at least they're thinking about it at CT High. They may not love the pathway they're in, but what we like to say is that we're still adding value and how to maybe talking about work ethic, talking about, you know, resume building and networking and just those, whether it's in their pathway or not, we do still feel like we're creating career-ready students in one way or another. So we're excited about that piece too.
Now, I've got to take a break. Can you stay longer? Yeah. Are you good to stay a little bit longer? Good.
Yep.
Okay. We're talking with Chris Homer. He is the principal at Career Tech High School. We'll give Chris a break, and I'll do a check on whether. I do want to real quick do an AG approve, though. It's Heartlight Funeral Services. I don't know if you've heard of them, but Heartlight Funeral Services is a kind of a new take on end-of-life experience. Say you've lost a loved one, but you don't want to go into one of those depressing, kind of sad places like a lot of funeral homes are. Heartlight has a whole different take. You go in, it's this bright white space. They have a 23-foot screen where you can play a video of honoring the life of your loved one. It's really, really cool. and they're really trying hard to become a part of the community. They have a couple of events coming up this weekend. A Night of Remembrance is kind of a cool night. It's coming up this Friday night, in which if you've lost a loved one in the last, whether it was the last 6 months or the last 6 years or whatever, they're going to be right there at the Sullivan Virgin River Park, and they're going to be lighting candles and having moments of silence for your loved one. It's pretty cool. That is this Friday night. And then Saturday morning, they've got a Turn On Your Heart Light Life Run. It's a 5K fundraiser on September 28th. The event offers the opportunity to come together for a great cause, with proceeds benefiting two important charity projects, Annie Stone and Helping Babies Breathe. Annie Stone is a charity dedicated to providing headstones for infants and children who have passed, ensuring families have a meaningful way to honor their loved ones. You can learn more about that one at anniestone.org. And then Helping Baby Breathe is a Rotary Club project, a global health initiative that trains healthcare providers in newborn resuscitation techniques in low resource settings. So in other words, poor countries where there have been a high infant mortality rate. Great charity sponsored by Heartlight Funeral Services. Go check them out. They're at 504 West Buena Vista Boulevard. Heartlight Funeral Services is AG approved.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Talking with Chris Homer today on the Andy Griffin Show. Now, Chris has a brother. Your brother's a trainer, right? You have two brothers.
Yeah, right now. My younger brother is he's the head counselor at Hurricane High School, and he still is doing some coaching over there. And my older brother was an athletic trainer. He's now the administrator through IHC over the athletic trainers, Marcus.
And that's Marcus. Yes. What was your other brother's name?
Marcus, and then my younger brother is John.
John, yeah. Okay. I don't think I knew John too well, but I knew Marcus. He's, yeah, as a trainer. He was always trying to, we were trying to get the inside scoop on injuries from him.
That's right. So. No, he's still part of that world. He's just not taping ankles anymore as much. So
yeah. Yeah, my son actually wanted to be a trainer when he was in college, and I think the very first game he had to go and wrap a bunch of stinky feet for a football game.
That's right.
He's like, "Dad, I think I'm going to do something else."
Yeah, those are good career decisions, maybe.
So he's a nutritional scientist now.
That sounds amazing.
And got on with the company and works from home.
There we go.
Yeah, they gave him a laptop and said, "Counsel our people from home." So
nice,
kind of cool. We're talking about Career Tech High School today. Chris is the principal there, and the pathways. And some of the questions. And by the way, if you want to talk to Chris, it's 673-5890 is the phone number. You can text me, too, at 467-5842. I have not checked my text lately. Okay, we're okay there. And Chris, talking a little bit about kids and how they've changed. I remember toward the end of your coaching career, I would actually ask you that. How have kids changed, and they're not – you know, things are a little different than they used to be. And I think it was you or one of the coaches told me, well, kids haven't changed that much. It's just the parents have changed.
Yeah.
And that's why the kids are different, because the parents are a little different. But have kids changed a lot? And if so, is some of it for the better?
Yeah, I do think there's probably a little bit of a higher level of maturity, especially when it comes to thinking about careers. At least, you know, there's... they haven't changed a lot. There's a lot of, you know, they still care about dating and food and being with friends, probably way more than they care about school or even football, right? But but at the same time, I think what we can provide is there are students out there that just are a better fit for us. And that's who we're trying to find, is that one that's just like, I always say maybe they're walking in their school today going, well, kind of like, why am I here?
Yeah.
And but yet they're smart and they're driven. They're just not finding their place at their boundary school. And we have amazing boundary schools that anyway. But we just like to think of us as just that other option for that kid that just is a little bit different in the way they think about school and their career. Yeah. And they're just almost ready to get on with certain things. And we provide some of those outlets through Career Tech High and their pathway and experiences. So are students different? It feels like there's a maturity level that's a little bit higher, I would say.
That's good.
Not always. and kids are kids, and we just know that. But at the same time, it feels like our student body, we have very few discipline problems. Even though they're having fun, enjoying themselves, and it's a little bit different, it's just a way to engage differently in education. I think it's an option. It's a different option, and it's a different choice to be educated, and we hope we're doing a great job with that. We're getting better and better each day.
You draw kids from all over the district, correct?
Yes.
Are there kids from Enterprise that come in?
So we had a few that after a semester just said, you know what, Mr. Homer, we love it here. It's too far.
Yeah.
They were getting up at 4 in the morning, getting home at 5 in the afternoon, you know, trying to come down, catch a bus part of the way. So we would love to have Enterprise students, and we even have some Water Canyon students. But it is a difficult just geographical situation. Sure. We really wish it was different and easier. It's just not. So, but, yeah, we have lots of kids from Snow Canyon to Hurricane. Desert Hills is our closest as far as our neighborhoods go, and that's they probably give us our most students. But every high school of the 6 bigger high schools in our district that are in St. George and Hurricane, we have plenty of students from all 6 high schools. And it's fun to watch them come in and build friendships with each other. And it feels a little bit more community college-ish that way, just because they come in and they, some of them don't come with any friends either. And they're just like, man, I always admire that courage to do that.
Yeah, sure.
Because I remember we're all thrust in those situations in our life sooner or later. And they're choosing to do it at age 14. And I'm always like, you guys are amazing. And then a couple months later in a trip to, a DECA conference or a business conference, and they have all these new friends. But yet they keep their friends at home too, which is cool too. We don't want to take that away.
So you might have a kid from Hurricane and a kid from Ivins, and they're both in there and become friends.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. How we have this amazing group of senior girls in our business pathway. They're so driven and motivated, and that literally it feels like there's one of them from each of our high schools. Like there's 6 of them, and they're so popular in their boundary school area, and they come here and they're just like best of friends, and it's fun. It's just different and fun and enjoyable, and they're creating, you know, these abilities to be social with people they don't know. It's just another little perk for being at CT High.
And you mentioned you have a sophomore daughter?
I do.
Is she at Career Tech?
No, she does not want her father to be her principal. I don't blame her.
My dad was a school teacher, and he kind of wanted me. He never vocalized it, but I think he kind of wanted me to come over to his school where he was teaching. I did not.
I have 2 more daughters coming, and they very well may end up with me at CTI, but they may not too. It's just, like I said, it's, again, we just want students that will be just such a good fit for us and maybe think a little bit differently and possibly more maturely about their education. And that's okay if they don't too. We're different for a reason, I guess, different kids.
Talk about the semantics of the transportation of getting a student that lives in Leverkin or a student that lives in Santa Clara or a student that maybe lives down in Bloomington to school. How do they do it? Are they all required to drive there, or how does that work?
No, so we do have a lot of students that drive that can or get rides, but we do offer busing from every high school to our high school.
So if they can get to their school, you can get them to your school.
And we get them home.
Okay.
So we can do that. We always say that you do have to get to that bus because it leaves a little bit early, but we can even get them home on their neighborhood bus if needed when they go home. So
it is
a bit of a sacrifice. It truly is on that transportation piece, but I'm always surprised, you know, how many students are just willing to do it to be part of us. And I think maybe that adds to our culture a little bit that, again, the choice, maybe doing something a little bit harder because they have to get up a little bit earlier and things like that, make the school feel a little bit more special that way.
Definitely special. All right, we're going to take another commercial break. More with Chris Homer, the principal of Career Tech High. A hot topic lately on this show has been cell phones in schools.
Yeah.
They're not banned in Utah. Should they be? We'll talk to Principal Mr. Homer about that when we come back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
We're talking about Career Tech High School a little bit with Principal Chris Homer, or Coach, if you have known Chris a while. Yeah. Chris, thanks for coming on today and talking about Career Tech. Just for a quick aside, just a 5-minute discussion on cell phones and kids. Because your school is a little bit unique and you have more than I think any other school in the area, kids that want to be there and want to be a part of what's going on at school. I would think, I'm guessing, that cell phones aren't as big a problem, but still a problem.
Yeah, it's such a difficult topic because do I think just no phones in schools works? Yeah, to a certain extent, it does. There's no doubt it would help with mm-hmm. certain situations, with some of the communication issues, the distractions that they do provide, and I hate to say it, but the addiction to the screen is real. I see it in my own family. Yeah. I see it in our students. They just there is something, and I see it with adults too. We're all, you know, I always say this. This concept of a smartphone is so ubiquitous. It's everywhere. It's every person. I do think we can manage phones within schools without saying we absolutely can't have phones in schools. And some of my teachers would go even farther and say, you know, my engineering teacher is going to say, now, wait a minute. I need that to control the drones or the robots. That's actually part of that app. And so it's hard because I don't think there's any real – truly easy answer. If you know, sometimes I wish we could just shut the internet off and pull out the textbooks and get rid of the Chromebooks, and I just think we could just keep our kids safer. I mean most of the negative things that happen in my school are cell phone related. The communication piece, the kids can be mean and kids can say dumb things, and the phone is the way they do that. There's no doubt about it, but I think as educators and in education, we just need to try our best to educate on that front too, because they're not going away. They're just not. Whether they have them in our schools or not, as soon as they get out of our schools, they'll have them.
And now, the governor is pushing to ban them from schools, right?
He is, yeah.
Do you think that'll happen? And if so, what do you do?
I have no idea. I'm not going to get into that today. I mean, I think – in some ways it would be fantastic, but I do know that they are just such a lifeline to their parents. And even as dumb as where are you going to go after school, or where am I going to pick you up, or you made it home safely, send me a text. We know that such a huge majority of our families are two parents are out of the home and working, and schools provide at the very least a place for kids to go that are safe places, hopefully. And so I see both sides of it, from the garbage of that the internet can pipe into our kids' hands to, man, such great educational tools in our health science pathways and our, you know, I see it both ways. It's really hard, but I think in my mind, I think ideally we're part of educating how to use a phone correctly, knowing the pitfalls of phone use, knowing that, you know, you're more likely not to become addicted to screen time if you know you can become addicted. And I'm not saying we're doing a perfect job that way, but for us right now, we're very strict in the fact that no cell phones are going to be used during class unless a teacher says we're going to use cell phones for this specific purpose today. And then, of course, before school, after school, and at lunch, we pretty much let our students use their cell phones. Now, whether that's right or wrong, I don't know. That's where we've settled, and I think most schools in our school district have settled in that place.
Okay, we'll leave cell phones alone for a little while. I do want to ask about your school. How many students do you have, and how many students is Career Tech High set up to have if you continue to grow?
Yeah, so we definitely think we'll grow. For example, so let me start with your first question. This year we have 600. Last year we had 475.
Okay.
We graduated 15 seniors. We were 15 for 15. We hope to never have a student not graduate from Career Tech High. This year we have 62 seniors. Next year we'll have about 175 seniors. Wow. And then our freshman class and our sophomore class is both about 200. Our freshmen are 220. So we've we had about 500 students apply for about 220 spots last
year.
Really?
Wow.
And we think that'll be kind of hopefully the way it goes. We love the concept that more than students can get in than will. We wish we could take every single one of them. But just because of our capacity, we're built for about 800. And so we'll recruit and accept about 220 every year into our freshman class, knowing that there'll be attrition.
Right.
And then we'll eventually, we can't keep bringing students in their freshman and sophomore years. We'll go back to a list and say, hey, we got a spot open if a student decides to go back to their boundary school or moves or whatever. And so we want to keep that. And then, but if a student leaves like halfway through their junior year, we're not looking to replace them. There's just no way to catch them up on credentialing and certificates, right, and stuff like that. So
your eight pathways, are there one or two or three of them that are more popular, way more popular than the others?
Health science is and
really?
Engineering are just, I think if you look at health science though, there's 500 careers just under that umbrella, right?
Yeah, I was going to say that's a big.
But we're offering, you know, every student will get a CNA. Every student will get an EMR certificate, phlebotomy certificate, EKG certificate, an externship at a healthcare area. Like, we know that that may not be the careers they choose, because a lot of the students are like, I want to be a nurse or I want to be a doctor. But there's so many fantastic careers in health science. So we're drawing lots of different kids there. And then the engineering kids out there that want to do robots and drones and 3D printing, they are just chomping at the bit to get into that program. But graphic design and construction and computer, they're all good. There's just some that have been get an overwhelming response as far as applications go.
So if I wanted my child or grandchild to be a part of this, how do I go about it?
So we starting second semester, so right after fall break, mid-October, we go and talk to every eighth grader in the district.
Okay.
We go to every middle school in our district, and we just say, hey, this is what Career Tech High is. Do you think this is a good fit for you? Please apply. And we take applications through Christmas break, and then right as we come back in January, we start we kind of go through the point process. We rank students. We start giving out invitations.
It's a lot of work, Chris.
It's a ton of work, but it's the only way it works for us. I think it's kicked around to do a lottery, but I think it might go back to my own. We just feel like if a student's ranked number one and somehow wants to be with us and isn't, because of a lottery, doesn't make it, I don't feel like it's the right thing to do. It's the easy thing to do.
Sure.
And we're not perfect in that, but we're just trying to get our best kids there that really want to be there, and again, just want to be Titans with us. So, but yeah, growth, we'll hit about 700-800 even as soon as next year, and we'll be busting at the seams already. And it's out there a ways, but we're talking of phase two and adding more pathways as well.
Amazing. It sounds like such a great alternative. I don't know if alternative is even the best word for it. A great service for kids that are looking into the future a little bit and deciding, okay, I want to design things, or I want to.
Yeah, they just kind of, these kids already kind of know what they want to do that usually come to us. And
that's cool.
And it's just a choice is what I like to think. This is a different choice for education when there isn't a lot in some ways. You know, you live in that boundary, you go to that school, and that's kind of that. And we do offer that even for a parent. A lot of the parents are saying, this is what we want for our kids too. We think it's mostly student-driven, but parents want a different option too, and we think we provide that.
Website is cths.washk12.org, cths.washk12.org. Beautiful picture of the school up front, and even an FAQ page. And
yeah, come visit us if you want. We'll take you for a tour.
Sounds like you guys are doing some great things out there, and like I said, it maybe get some kids who actually are driven a little bit, unlike some of us when we were eighth graders who weren't driven. Well, we were driven to the McDonald's. That was about it. So
that's right.
Chris, thanks for coming on. It's been a pleasure.
Yep. Well, hopefully we cleared some things up today about CT High.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds fun.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk to you then.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.